Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we have a special guest for you today, Paul Jacobson, and we're going to be talking about the wicked history of the Jesuits. And are they Christians? I think the Catholic Church might call itself a Christian church, but why would they have an organization like the Jesuits? And does that have anything to do with Christianity as we know it? So we're going to talk about that today, about their history. It's quite a wicked history, really. I think most people don't really know the truth, and we like the truth here at Prophetic News. We think the truth is always good, it's helpful, and we don't have to be afraid of the truth. It sets us free, it makes us free, and we're grateful for that. So we want to also let you know that we have a website, propheticnews.com, and a YouTube channel, Prophetic News TV. So you can go there and avail yourself to the information that we've compiled over the years. I think it would be a great blessing to you. Also, all our programs are archived on Blog Talk Radio. So if you miss any of the programs, then you can go back into the history. And we have all our history there for the past 3 years. So you can check that. And if anybody's listening, I see I have two people in the chat room, Brother Vincent and another guest. Can you tell me if you can hear? Let me know if... the audio is on, okay? My guest, Paul, maybe Paul, you could check the sound. Let me know if you can hear me. If you go to the Blog Talk Radio Prophetic News page, and you can check the sound for me, okay? Anyway, I'm going to be bringing my guest on. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Susan. How are you?
Good.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. Were you able to hear me?
Yeah, I just heard you for the last few minutes, definitely, from the very start.
Yeah, someone's saying there's a problem with the audio, but I'll have to check it. I'll go over and check it anyway and see if it's working, but hopefully... Hopefully it's working. Anyway, we're going to talk today a little bit about the Jesuits. And I know I've had you on the program before, and we talked a little bit about your history with a church that had gone purpose-driven.
Right.
And how they kind of gave you the left foot of fellowship.
Yeah. Could say that.
Yeah. Well, it seems, of course, we see so many things happening, especially the things that have happened in the news in the past week with the rise of Islam And I'm going to be doing a few programs in the next few weeks about it, because in our little community now, the county where I live, I don't even think there's 200,000 people in this county. And they have a mosque here.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Now, I didn't even know it was here. I was driving down the road a few weeks ago, and I happened to glance over to my right, and I see all these turrets and things, and I said, wow, that looks like a mosque. And so I went on the internet, and sure enough, but I can see how everything is unfolding. Why is there a mosque in my little county? And I think there'll probably be one eventually in every county. And to me, it's a little frightening. But I'm going to bring this caller on, Paul. Let me see if they're going to say anything about the sound. Hello? Caller? 661?
Hello?
Yes, is Vince?
Oh, okay. I didn't know I had made it through. I was.
Okay, can you hear us okay?
Yeah, hear you.
Okay. You can barely hear us? All right. All right, then. I'm going to go over to the channel and check it. But anyway, I'm going to let Paul start. Paul, if you would, give us a little history about the Jesuits. Who are they? And what was their purpose?
Well, the Society of Jesus, now I'm feeling like I'm put on the spot for dates, but I'm not really great with dates, but I can tell you in 16th century they came into existence. Basically, Ignatius of Loyola, who had been a Spanish general, had gotten wounded, nearly lost his leg, had sought out a particular kind of spirituality. He was Catholic, but also was into a certain kind of spirituality, a member of what was called the Alumbrados, which is known as, really as today would be known as the Illuminati.
Okay.
This was before he got rounded up in the Inquisition, actually, because they didn't. During the Inquisition, they would round up very famous people. They had unbelievable powers. Of course, this was the Inquisition that was prosecuted prior to the Jesuits being in existence. Because here is Loyola, the famous scene that some people can see. They do research. Is Loyola on bended knee before the Pope, basically begging for his life by proposing a military order, promising the Pope a military order that could counter the Reformation. A military order, mind you. He was the very first general of this military order.
Okay. So why did the Catholic Church need a military order? Now, that's odd in itself.
Right. Well, a lot of people don't know, the history of the Catholic Church is obviously very long. There's a lot there. I mean, I probably don't know, but a dime's worth compared to how much is there. You can look at all these different popes and see all these things, but why did they need that? It was because of the Reformation, old Martin Luther, and what was happening as far as real Christianity coming back and people, starting to be able to actually read the Word of God, which up until that time, up until the 15th century, printing the Word of God was forbidden, by the Catholic Church. Can you imagine that? But that was the case.
Yeah, well, they didn't want anybody to read the Bible because they could keep people brainwashed to their doctrine.
Right, let alone interpret it. I mean, still today, the only interpreters allowed to reinterpret the Word of God in the Catholic Church are the priests or the hierarchy. You know, and anything that I'm saying right now, you know, I know I can speak for you about this too, because obviously real Christians don't condemn anybody, but we do call people to repentance. We do speak the truth in love, as you just said earlier. And I've always been someone that's had I had to seek out the truth. It's like I want to get to the bottom of things in this world that I get interested in. You know, I had to find out, as an example, what made Hitler tick. Well, there's a Jesuit connection there too. The Jesuits are more than implicated by very important historical writers in World War I and World War II. The Jesuits are definitely, history historians have stated that they are responsible for at least 60 million deaths since the Inquisition. Now, they took over the Inquisition, you know, when they got into power very, very quickly. They got full power. They got special rights. I mean, you know, the Catholic Church was already killing people in the name of Christ. But the Jesuits took it to a whole new level of killing early on. I mean, there are well documented the Gunpowder Plot in England where the Jesuits.
Oh yeah, let's talk about that, because I wanted to bring that up. Let's talk a little bit about Guy Fawkes and the Gunpowder Plot. What was it, and why did it happen?
I can give you a basic overview, and I'll try to make things succinct and, you know, to the point, and when I don't, please let me know. But basically, Guy Fawkes was the Jesuits, you know, front man,
yeah,
who got a certain part of Parliament packed with explosives to try to decapitate the government, to kill the king, who would come and sit in Parliament at times. And evidently he was scheduled to appear. And so Guy Fawkes, with the Jesuits, who then were Jesuits, were hanged. It is a well-known fact that Jesuits were involved in that. We're talking, I believe it was 1605, I believe.
Because they had been translating the Bible, that King James had authorized the Bible to be translated. And that was really the reason for the assassination attempt and to blow up. They were actually trying to blow up the Parliament building, weren't they?
Right. I mean, I thank God that they were, the people that worked for the king and worked for Parliament were on their toes. They also had a grudge to bear, of course, against King Henry VIII and Elizabeth and Queen Elizabeth. A little bit. I mean, all those.
Well, Henry had his own problems, that's for sure.
Well, he did, but obviously splitting with the church and then, you know, divorcing his wife without the, you know, and then splitting from the church. The church had a huge grudge, and they used Spain and the Armada and then the Jesuits, because the Jesuits were there. You know, the term spook. Obviously, now we think the term spook, we either think ghost, or we think, what do we think? Intelligence officer, like CIA, a spook, a spy.
Yeah.
They were the original spies. They created the whole, they may not have created it, because obviously if we go back in the Bible, we can see that there were spies back at the Bible. Rahab, some of these others, going way, way back. They didn't invent it, but they reinvented it for modern times, if you can say that the 17th century was modern times. They ended up being in the halls of power. They always, gravitated up to spying on kings. They became the confessors to kings and queens. In other words, they knew all of their sins.
Yeah.
They knew everything. So they could hold them against them. They could, you know, do anything with that information, and they
did.
Yeah,
well, that's why it's dangerous. Be careful what you tell somebody.
Yeah.
Of course, I grew up in the Catholic Church. I have a little bit of experience. I was educated in a Catholic school for the first 7 or 8 years of my life. Anyway, so I understand thoroughly. I know what it is, and. No, it's a false religious system.
Right.
And we never opened the Bible. And I went to school from grade 2 to 8. Never once did we ever look at the Bible. We were told that we couldn't understand it, and that if we had any questions, we should go to the priest. Now, this was back in the 50s and the early 60s, so it was a long time ago. And, of course, if you can keep people ignorant of the Word of God, and we even see that today, that as long as people are ignorant of God's Word, then many of these false teachers and false religious systems can have a stronghold on people's lives. So it's interesting, isn't it, that with Guy Fawkes and the gunpowder plot, and if anybody wants to look it up, you can do a search on the internet. The information is there. It's actual part of history. Mm-hmm. We're not just making this up because we don't like the Catholic Church or the Jesuits. This actually happened.
Right.
And like Paul said, people were actually executed for trying to kill the king.
Jesuits were executed.
Yeah.
From what I understand, what I've read of history. But can I make a little bit of a segue and just skip ahead a few centuries? I'll be happy to go back, but can I skip ahead? You're talking about, what I wanted to make sure that I said today was that the Jesuit spiritual influence is so extreme, and they literally train and are expert at what's the word when you get into something,
sabotage.
Sabotage, penetration. I mean, there's a
Paul, are you familiar at all with Alberto Rivera and his testimony? The former Jesuit priest.
Totally. I think it might be what first got me interested when I saw that on Chick Tracks, because I've been getting Chick Tracks, or at least I did.
Since we were saved, looking at
them. Right, exactly. Had that totally in common with you. And I believe in that story. I believe that it's true.
I believe the story is true. One of the things that he said, and anybody that wants to go and read Alberto Rivera's testimony, he was a former Jesuit priest who actually got born again and came out. And then he started sharing his testimony of being involved in this false religious system. And they tried to discredit him. They tried to murder him. And but if you want to read his testimony, you can go to Chick, CHICK.com. Jack Chick has some terrific books, and you can read the book. It looks like a comic book, but it's not really a comic book, but it's called Alberto. And you can actually read his testimony, but he states in his testimony that Jesuits are trained to infiltrate.
Right, that was the
Pentecostal,
word I was looking for.
Any church, any Bible believing church, they're trained to infiltrate. And
right, because Bible believing churches are the greatest threat to them.
Yes. They're the greatest threat, and also we can see that they have done a very good job, because we have anything goes now, just about, if you look at what they call Christian television, but I don't call it Christian television, but they have infiltrated it very successfully. They actually even have Catholic priests on most of the networks, such as TBN and some of the other networks. And so they've managed to blend in. But if you read, if you get a copy of the Vatican II, which I have in my library, the Vatican II Council, I think it was in the 1960s. Anyway, they state in there that there's only one true church, and that's the Holy Mother Church, the Catholic Church. And their desire is to bring everyone back into the Catholic Church, because they call us separated brethren.
Right.
But of course we're not separated. When we're born again, we're not separated and wanting to go back to some false religious system. No, thank you. Let me take this caller, Paul.
Sure.
Caller. Hello, caller.
Yeah, it's me again. I keep getting cut off and everything. I was just basically calling in so I could hear the show and whatever.
Okay, so are you can hear fine?
Yeah, I hear very good now. Something keeps happening with my computer.
Yeah, so do you have any questions, Vince, for Paul? Yeah, we're having trouble hearing you. Having trouble hearing there, but I'm going to put – I have to put you on hold, Vince, because we lost you again.
That's
the wonders of Skype, right?
Yeah, technology is great, isn't it, Susan?
Yeah. It can be, you know, it can be a blessing, but
– Yeah.
But, of course, one of the most wicked parts of Catholic history, which they denied for many years, was the Inquisition.
Right.
And if anyone has visited Europe, and I have, I've been to many countries in Europe and drove from village to village at some point during my travels.
Oh,
and,
nice.
Yeah. One of the things, a few of the things that I found interesting, especially in Germany, was you could pull into just about any small village, and I mean small, and there would be a huge church in the village.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
of course, we know why that is, and it was a Catholic church, because the Catholic church was the center of the village, and you had to go to that church during the 1500s, 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, for when it was known that there was an Inquisition, because if you didn't join their church, they would put you on trial and burn you at the stake or torture you.
Right.
And so it's amazing that they have all these huge church buildings in these small villages. And also, now one village that I went to in Germany, I got out of the car and I said, well, I think I'm going to go into this church and have a look inside. It was quite an elaborate-looking cathedral on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went in, there was two glass coffins, and in the coffins were skeletons.
Right.
And now, why in the world would anybody want to go into a church building and see two skeletons? And the skeletons had beautiful clothing on. They had these beautiful beaded jewel-encrusted garments on. And now that was very strange. Now, what does that have to do with Christianity? Now, I was actually at the Tower of London, and at the Tower of London in London, England, is they used to hang people there. They used to chop their heads off. And, of course, King Henry VIII, the King of England, who had five wives,
mm-hmm.
and he divorced his first Catholic wife, and of course then he split from the Church of Rome and started his own church. But he was notorious for chopping off, if he didn't like a wife, he simply had her head chopped off. He did that to, I think, two or three of them.
Mm-hmm.
He had five. So actually, and then there is a gate there called the Traitor's Gate, and they would bring people through the Traitor's Gate into the instrument of torture room, which you can see today. It's still there.
Mm-hmm.
And many of the instruments of torture that they used during the Inquisition are there. The rack, where they put people on a rack. You were laying down with your hands and feet outstretched, and you were tied up with ropes. And if you would not confess that you were a Catholic, they would wind this thing, and the ropes would stretch your body out until you died.
Mm-hmm. Or a witch. I mean, if you didn't agree with it or profess it, yeah, they basically torture you to death.
Yeah, burned you at the stake alive, like the Bible translators. I think mm-hmm. was it Wycliffe or Tyndale? One of them was burned at the stake. Now, what was his crime? His crime was translating the Bible into English for everyone to have. So he was burned at the stake by the Catholic Church.
Right.
So they have a very, very wicked history, which, like I said, they try to deny it and then they issued an apology a few years back and finally admitted that it happened and apologized. Well, we have to be careful whether they say they're sorry or not. I don't want anything to do with an organization that murders people if you don't join.
Right. Well, then you got to look at what they stand for now and what they've done in even the 20th century. I mean, you're talking about, I do from the studies that I've done and as far as the Jesuits, you know, Hitler, there's a quote, I had it just a few minutes ago, but I'll paraphrase it. He modeled his SS and his armies, his whole operation, after the Jesuits. That's what he modeled it after. Himmler's brother was a high-ranking Jesuit, and there were many Jesuits that were actually soldiers that were in the SS, that were officers. They modeled, if it wasn't for Rome, if it wasn't for the Vatican and a prime minister by the name of von Papen of Germany, Hitler would not have come to power. He could not have come to power without the help of the Vatican.
And well, they actually say that he was a Catholic himself. Of course, we know that he practiced the occult.
Severely. He was a Satanist.
There's a famous photograph, which is hard to find now, but I did see it on one of the History Channels once. There was an actual photograph somewhere where you can actually see Hitler in his black costume, his occult costume.
I've got pictures of him standing in front of churches, coming out of churches.
Shaking hands with priests. They didn't really persecute the Catholic Church during the reign of Hitler, but there also is a book, I don't know if you're familiar with it, Paul, The Secret History of the Jesuits.
Oh, yes, I've read that many times, yes.
Yeah, that by, mm-hmm. Is it Paris?
Yes, that's correct, last name is Paris. I've read it many times. I have quotes of his on my site as well.
We're going to give your website now, and we'll give it again toward the end of the show. So if you want to go to Paul's website, you can check out the books that he's put up there so you can check out the history for yourself.
It's simple, JesusRapture.com.
Okay.
JesusRapture.com.
Okay.
And I there's a lot of different subject matter up there. Obviously, Jesus Rapture, Lord coming for us. And here we are, one of the first things that I wanted to talk about, but we're so into what we're doing, is about the time that we're in. We're standing right on the very cusp of possibly the War of Gog and Magog, which is like with all these different, almost overnight, I mean, we're talking about within the past 2 years, these 21 different countries, Arab countries, Islamic countries rising up, over this movie, over any little thing.
It's not over a movie. I can guarantee you that.
Right. No, that's what I mean. It's not.
Any kind of protest or organize. People just don't go out into the street. The area where I live, we just don't have people just deciding to go outside and starting riots. These things are organized. No one just goes outside and says, "Let's have a riot."
Right.
See most of these people that you see in these riots. Of course, you can't even believe what you see on the news, but they're young. They look like they're 12, 14.
And did you see the Guy Fawkes mask? I mean, even today, this concept of Guy Fawkes, there were people in Guy Fawkes masks at some of these protests.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Now, that's interesting. Do you know anything, Paul, about the history of the Catholic Church, the Jesuits, and Muhammad, or Muslims? Now, there's also Jack Chick has a booklet about that, about the connection.
Right, I have that too. Yeah. It is a. Explaining or an allegation that the Catholic Church actually fooled Muhammad into creating Islam, dictating the Quran to him. So that, I mean, that's...
Things that kind of stand out to me is the fact that Muhammad's daughter was named Fatima. And, of course, in the Catholic Church, they have a famous shrine to Mary, who they call the Lady of Fatima or Fatima. So that's kind of interesting, an interesting parallel there. But it all seems to blend in. And, of course, the Catholic Church, do you have any information about the Catholic Church and the Crusades and why they want to own Jerusalem?
Well, this is part of how the popes through history have wanted to reclaim Jerusalem, because they believe that's their territory. You know, they obviously persecuted the Jews for centuries, the Catholic Church did, or used them in most ungodly ways, murdered perhaps millions of them. I'm sure that I'm actually being conservative, but they believe that that the Catholic Church replaced, this is original replacement theology. I'm sure you know what that is.
Yeah.
They believe that they replaced the Jews, and they always harbored hatred against the Jews. And, you know, it's significant that up until the 20th century, there during World War II, Pope Pius XII didn't have much to say about, or really anything to say, when he found out that Jews were being killed in ovens. He tried to cover himself later on, but the own Italian people rose up and accused him of murder, of having blood on his hands, literally rose up to accuse him of having blood on his hands. And Pope Pius XII was not pious.
No.
You know, he did something at the end, closer to the end of World War II, because he saw what was coming. He saw that the Nazis were losing, etc. I mean, Mussolini had already lost. And he tried to protect several hundred Jews to cover himself, to say that he did something. That's basically what he did. I mean, there's all kinds of atrocities in what became Yugoslavia. Priests, and there are pictures, literally. I've got pictures from one, spirituallysmart.com. That's another great, if you want to read about the Jesuits.
Okay, spirituallysmart.com.
Spirituallysmart.com. Arctic Beacon. I don't even know if that one is a Christian site. You got to be, you know, but there's plenty.
You have to be careful, because there's a lot of the information that's out there, of course, I think that the Catholic Church and the Jesuits put out themselves. I think there's a lot of false information.
Right.
Because they're very, very good at putting out misinformation. Now, if they can get people to believe, which they've done successfully, they have a billion people that believe, or over a billion people that believe that Jesus Christ himself lives in a wafer. So if they can get people to believe that foolishness, they could get them to believe just about anything.
Well, if any of our Catholic friends are listening, they're probably thinking that we hate them, and we don't. If you're listening to this, just know that, you know, God does not have to be eaten. The Mass is not how you get holy. You definitely want Jesus inside you, but it takes place spiritually. When you receive him as Lord and Savior, you ask him in, you repent of your sins, and you ask him into your life. You don't get Jesus by consuming him through your mouth. It can't,
right.
It's impossible.
And the thing is, you keep doing it. You keep going back to receive him. And I never understood the plan of salvation as a Catholic. I knew Jesus died for my sins, but I didn't know what it meant, because I never thought I was good enough to go to heaven. I knew I wasn't good enough to go to heaven. And nobody's good enough to go to heaven. That's why Jesus had to die for your sins, because you're not good enough to go.
That's right.
But through the shedding of his blood and his perfect sacrifice, he's made you.
Well, so you have all these, you know, I'm not saying every pope was wicked, but there were a lot of extremely evil popes. I mean, there are Catholics that will talk about the anti-popes, and there's a fairly long list of them. But, you know, they're a lot of the ones that came up with a lot of these dogmas. You know, it wasn't until about 1,000 years of the Catholic Church that they decided that priests should be celibate, for instance. It was like the year 1057 or something like that. I mean, a lot of these dogmas and things that we obviously disagree with so wholeheartedly, A lot of wicked popes came up with these. The very Pope, Julius III, that allowed Ignatius Loyola to create the Jesuits, for instance, he was a pedophile. He openly had a gay teenage lover who he then, this is too much for your program, just let me know. I won't go any farther than that. He acted as his protege. He basically, put him in the Senate and all sorts of other things. It was a big joke in Rome. And this is the guy that helped create the Jesuits and the Borgias.
Oh.
The wicked Borgias were his major patrons, Ignatius Loyola. So, you're talking about a church that really was no longer a church, was no longer a real church, but then it injected into itself, allowed to be injected into a very, really a cult society, a secret society, what the Jesuits are. And you know who confirms that? Former Jesuits, ex-Jesuits, or there's one Jesuit that remained a Jesuit till he died, named Malachi Martin. Do you know who Malachi Martin was?
Oh, yeah, I've heard of him, yeah. But I can never really understand where he was at, that guy.
Well, he wrote many books.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
The titles just give it away. I listened to him.
But if he never came out of it, I don't trust him.
No, he never came out of it.
I don't trust him.
Well, but he did write books, The Rise and
Fall
of the
Romans. Yeah, he did, but it's like, how can you trust someone 100% if they don't totally leave the era they're in?
Oh, I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
It's not somebody that I would totally trust, but when you have, insiders, like the current, or at least it was a couple of years ago, of what they called the exorcist for the Vatican, when it comes out in the news that he openly says there is extreme evil about in the Vatican, that there's something extremely evil happening in the Vatican. When you have someone like that saying that, and another bishop that actually supposedly got born again, have you heard of Bishop Buffard?
No, but if he's still a bishop, I don't know how he's born again. I mean, he has to get out. You have to get out.
Right. He got out.
Oh,
he got out and
okay.
got born again.
Oh, good.
He got out, and he has said some unbelievable things as well. Also, on my website, I wish I could remember half of what I've got on my website. I can't, but I can give you an overall picture that you're dealing with. And the most important thing I wanted to talk about today was the trickle down, what they're doing today, because the Jesuits are extremely good at, like you said, infiltration. That was the word I was looking for. Infiltrating,
yeah.
Especially, Bible-believing what seems to be evangelical churches, or getting, people like Rick Warren and others. I'm not saying that the Jesuits directly did this. I don't know for sure, but the Peter Drucker, definitely into German old German Catholic mystics. He's,
uh-huh.
he's described as being into that. This whole thing of mysticism, the Jesuits.
Oh,
really,
yeah.
And now
Guyon and those people. But isn't it interesting, too, Paul, that it's an interesting parallel as to what is going on today. When you look at St. Peter's, and I've been there to St. Peter's in Rome, I saw the tremendous wealth. The artwork itself that they own is worth billions of dollars. The buildings are worth billions. They should never have to take up an offering. No one should ever feel sorry. The Catholic Church even made a statement a few years ago that they were running in the red, which is a big joke. But how did they build St. Peter's? They built St. Peter's the same way TBN is being built, Daystar Network's being built, Kenneth Copeland's ministry, Creflo Dollar, and the rest
right.
of these people's ministries are being built through selling miracles, through selling indulgences. And
mm-hmm.
it's the same old deal, and they know it works because, it's like P.T. Barnum said, there's a sucker born every minute.
Right.
And we're seeing it today that you can just about buy anything you want with God. And the Bible says that they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, and that they want to tell you that gain is godliness, and it's not, because they're building it through deception. And we want people to wake up and to see, do your homework. Check out some of these sources that Paul is recommending, and get out your Bible and do your homework and run for your life. Now, you know, if somebody like James Robison is having this convention, and they have a convention a few weeks ago where they actually have a Catholic priest as one of the speakers.
Well, they're probably getting into this contemplative spirituality, obviously ecumenism. What the devil is doing is trying to get all of us under the umbrella of Rome.
Yes.
And I praise God, I do believe, I hope and pray that the rapture takes place soon and very soon, or at least before all this comes to fruition, because it's coming to a head right now in front of our eyes. That's why people need to wake up. Contemplative spirituality is what I want to talk a little bit about, because I think the Jesuits are behind that.
Okay, so yes, you wanted to talk a little bit about what you think or you believe that they're doing today to infiltrate the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the true church.
Right. Well, so many evangelical churches are turning towards, look at this emergent church garbage, what they're embracing. A man named, I can name several of the names, Dallas Willard, Richard Foster is one of the biggest names. Your evangelical today, the big magazine, I forget the name of it. Today
Charisma?
Not Charisma.
Christianity Today.
There you go. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Christianity Today named him one of the most important, you know, Christians of like the 20th century. very dangerous.
They should call it non-Christianity Today.
Oh, that would be more truthful. It really would be, because they're getting into this mystical contemplative spirituality where you are led to go into a meditative state that can. My pastor has been preaching about this, praise God, and there's a link to hit actually him on the very front page, because he's speaking about this very thing, but he doesn't know. I'm trying to educate him about the Jesuits being probably behind it, but when you go into a meditative state, now meditation is obviously in the Bible, but where you go to make your mind blank, and where you expect actually to see Jesus, you go using tools like visualization and other things, that's of the occult. And there are
right.
major institutions are actually teaching these concepts. Moody Bible Institute has courses on these on contemplative spirituality. Hopefully they're saying, you know, the truth about them and not advocating them, but I'm concerned that they, from what I've heard, Lutzer had the preacher at Moody had somebody, a major ministry, Lighthouse Trails is another one that talks smack, really talks very, very clearly and concisely about this, and knows. They had a dialogue with Erwin Lutzer, who had some preacher come in, one of these people that were pushing contemplative spirituality come in. You know, and they sound so good and pious and so sweet. They come in like an angel of light and even can fool someone like Erwin Lutzer and some of these other people who are so seemingly, you know, great evangelicals. A lot more, you know what, I hate to say it. I think that most leading evangelicals that call themselves leading or called leading are way off the mark, have gone off the reservation.
Well, they've also, many of the denominations, such as the Assembly of God, I don't know about the Church of God, but I know the Assembly of God is one. They've gone in for all this. Let's all be one. And we don't care about doctrine. We just all want to be one. And they have also signed some kind of declaration of being ecumenical with the Catholic Church. There was some kind of a document signed. I think it's ECT, Evangelicals and Catholics Together or something like that. We don't have anything in common with false religious systems. We are not to unite just because somebody says, I believe in Jesus. No, I was a Catholic up until I was 12. Thank God I got out of it. When I was 12 years old, I had enough sense to get out of it. I didn't know Jesus from Santa Claus. I said I loved Jesus and all that, and I didn't know who Jesus was. I never understood the plan of salvation. I never understood what it meant to be born again. It wasn't until I was 30 years old that I heard the gospel for the first time the correct way, and I actually got out the Bible and started reading it to find out for myself. So just because somebody says, I love Jesus and I know Jesus, but I want to know what Jesus are you talking about? What Jesus? Because the Bible says there's another Jesus. There's another gospel that's being preached. So if your pastor or your favorite TV evangelist is having Catholic priests on their networks or on their programs, then you need to cross that person off. I mean, pray for that person. But you need to run for your life.
I agree.
Because why? It's like we were saying before. Why would anybody have fellowship with a so-called church that calls themselves a church that kills that killed people by the millions if you didn't join? That has nothing to do with Christianity.
And has an order. See, I believe the Jesuits basically they took over the Catholic Church from within. I read something else again this morning that confirms that when they, for instance, when they have a pope that who tries to do his own thing, so to speak, tries to, you know, be a good Catholic, quote unquote, and stand up for what they used to believe in, the Jesuits are reported, this one thing that I've read is several decades old by a historian, they basically poisoned that. Remember Pope Paul VI?
Yeah.
I believe it was Pope, or was it? Was there a pope right before John Paul? There was one pope that was...
John the 23rd?
Well, that's going back farther, but there was one that died 33 days into office.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember him. I remember that happened, but I don't remember who it was.
Well, they basically, the Jesuits control, there's what they call the Black Pope. That's the general. And from all the different sources, like the Jesuit assassins, which Eric Phelps is another expert on this. I don't know that I agree with everything that he says, but
yeah,
what he says
I
about
have to say that too. I don't agree with everything he says, but I know he did do quite a extensive study on the history of the Jesuits. So, and I'm sure that there's some resources that he used that. You know, he could document that it's true. But I don't agree with his doctrine, I would have to say.
Right. No, I don't either. I understand.
Yeah.
I think I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't either.
But I think his book is actually, what is it, 300, how many pages? I mean, it's huge. He actually had a book at one time called The Secret History of the Jesuits, I think. Can't remember the exact name of his book. That's Edmund Parris, The Secret History of the Jesuits. Okay.
Yeah.
But he did quite extensive research. Of course, we know that the Jesuits did come to this country in the 1600s, and they did have some settlements here, and they tried to convert the Indians. And they're very good at – I even have family members now that – are Catholic, and they're still trying to get me to come back, and I'm putting it in quotes because I don't believe this at all. They're just still trying to get me to come back to the one true church.
Right, of course. Yeah, they feel you're lost forever.
Yeah.
But, you know what makes it easy for me to agree with you and to speak boldly about how wrong the Catholic Church is, the Vatican. Is that they, you know, the present Pope, he used to be head of the office, basically, of what used to be called
the Inquisition. He was head of the office of the Inquisition.
Right.
Pope Benedict. He's a German.
And there are pictures online of him in his little Nazi boy uniform.
He was when he was a young boy, he was a Nazi. I do have to say, being in Germany and Austria myself, and some of these former Nazi countries, and asking the older people there why they followed Hitler. Now, they don't even like to talk about it. They don't even like that part of their history. They're very, very sad about it.
Sure.
But they say that, of course, you had no choice.
Mm-hmm.
You had to join the Hitler Youth.
Well, you know, the Catholic Zentrum, the Catholic Party, was extremely strong, and you had all these Catholics. They didn't know what they were getting into. To defend them a little bit, they didn't totally know what they were getting into. They had a strong nationalist leader. Obviously, World War One had devastated them. They were paying off, you know, France, war reparations. So I think they just finally paid France off for World War One, if I'm not mistaken. But they had I understand. But also, then you had the Catholic Church that basically kept them spiritless. Most of them weren't even born again. They didn't have discernment and understanding. They couldn't see the evil in this man back then, nor find out about, you know, what he really believed in, the Thule Gesellschaft, all these secret societies and really devilish things that he was into. And there he pretended to be a good Catholic, and the Catholic Church, the Vatican, was telling them, basically giving them permission through all the, you know, the bishops and all the high-rolling, sorry for putting it this way, but high-rolling Catholics and cardinals, they were all saying, you know, Hitler's our man. And, you know, if you're a good Catholic, especially back then, you don't go against, you know, what they would say. But, you know, they found out maybe two or three years down the road what they'd really gotten into. You speak against him in any way, you're dead.
Oh, yeah. It was a very frightening time for the people. Anybody that looks at any of the History Channel or any of these documentaries they made about Hitler, and, of course, we know the Antichrist is going to be so much worse. I think God Almighty has let us get a glimpse into history to see actually what I'm sure many, many people thought Hitler was the Antichrist. He was not a, to me, he had no charisma. I don't see the charisma. It was some kind of a hypnotic control that he had over people, because how people marched, and they marched by the thousands in unison, and all the legs are going the same way, and all the arms are going the same way, and these parades they had, and it is quite remarkable the mind control that he had over people. And that's what deception will do to people. It you know, excuse me, but it makes you stupid. Now, I've been there, so I was one of those that, you know, I was doing the seed faith, and, you know, I was trying to pay God off, and I was doing all the things that the Word of Faith teachers told me to do, and thank God, God rescued me out of that. So it's easy to fall into deception and to hand your mind over to a pastor or a TV preacher, and we have to be careful that we don't do that. We have to check everything out with the Word of God. And if it doesn't line up with God's Word, then we need to leave the church, leave the organization, quit supporting the preacher. And it's very important to be able to think for yourself, because what happened in Germany, and it wasn't too long ago, it was in the 1930s and the 1940s, that this is recent history.
Right.
And these are supposedly educated people. These were not third world countries that Hitler took over. So it was very easy for these people to be deceived and to say, one thing Hitler did do for the people there is he built beautiful highways, the autobahns, and he gave people jobs and food. And
right.
So because he gave them prosperity, then they loved him. So it's kind of a parallel to what's happening today, is that the church, we want money and we want fame and, you know, we want all these things, and it's not really what we're supposed to be seeking after. So.
Well, and that whole faith movement thing is so obvious, you know, that it's like you can look back. I was teething on Dave Hunt's books back in the 80s, so I kind of knew that all of the bad things about the faith movement. But it's what is really subtle today. These other mass movements, these other ones that I talked about, Rick Warren before, and of course I've got a special chip for the Purpose Driven Church on my shoulder. I realize that, but it's entertaining some really, you know, it's the mixture that God abhors. When you start mixing Christianity with other things, when you start mixing
mysticism, the occult, and all these other things, it just doesn't mix. Jesus Christ and his gospel do not mix with false religious systems and false doctrines. So,
The only thing that protects you, you know, is not only knowing God's word, knowing the truth, and the truth shall set you free, but the only way you can really know the truth is by knowing the one who created the truth. But only by knowing Jesus personally, actually having a personal relationship. You know, we know what that is, and anybody that's listening, anybody can have a personal relationship with Jesus. You have to pursue him daily. Both of us, undoubtedly, and Susan, I think I can speak for you, I can tell what a strong spiritual woman that you are. We pursue Jesus every day. We got to talk to him, spend time with him every day. Otherwise,
we do, because without Jesus, where would we be? I shudder to think about it. You know, what would I do without the Lord Jesus Christ in my life? And you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can be forgiven of your sins. You don't have to keep going over there to the priest and sitting in a box and telling somebody your sins. I don't recommend that. I don't recommend anybody telling everybody every little detail about their life. You have to remember that they could use it against you one day. So be careful who you tell things to. You need to tell God about your sins. Whatever happened to God forgiving you of your sins? You don't have to go over there and sit in some confessional to get God to forgive you of your sins. You can talk to him yourself right now ask him to forgive you of your sins. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all messed up, every single one of us. And you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. You must be born again. First you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. And Jesus Christ will come into your life if you ask him, and he will show himself to be real to you. There is a God who made this world, and no one is going to destroy God's creation. You can't kick God out of America. Nobody's kicking him out. I didn't know anybody could kick God out of America. He's not going anywhere.
You know, especially when we have his name on our money. In God we trust. Right, sure.
Yeah. Well, you're not kicking him out, because you can't kick God out of his own universe. I know some people want to lead you to believe that, but, you know, it's not going to happen. So we want you to know that there is a God who loves you. He does. Jesus Christ loves you. He laid down his life for you. He came to earth. He lived as a man. He died on a cross for your sins, so you could be free. So we want you to be free today and come out. Get out of Babylon.
Yeah.
And anyway, Paul, our time is up, but I want to thank you. It was a great program. Time went by so fast. We're going to have to do it again and have you come back and talk a little bit more. I think it's interesting to kind of weave it in with what's going on today with the emergent church movement.
Yes, I hope so. I hope so.
Yeah. It's a broad subject. There's so much, and I put some information in the chat room, so for the people that want to go and check out some of the resources that Paul talked about. And Paul, just quickly again, give your website.
Sure, it's JesusRapture.com. Hopefully happening soon. Jesus is rapture of us.
Amen. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. So don't forget to go to Paul Jacobson's website and get to know him a little bit better, a good brother in the Lord. And I want to thank you, Paul. Thank you so much for today.
Thank you. It was a really
interesting program, really interesting.
My pleasure.
I want to thank all my people in the chat room. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Brother Vincent from Black by Color Only. And on Blog Talk Radio, don't forget to check out his program. He's got a great program on Blog Talk Radio. And all the other people in the chat room, thank you for stopping by. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I appreciate it so much that you're tuning in. And we're all growing together in the grace and knowledge of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And
Amen.
We love him. We thank him for what he's done for us. We know what it is to be born again. We had a life without Christ once, and we know what it was like without him, and we know what it is with him. And it's peace, joy that you cannot get. You can't buy it. You can't get it anywhere except by having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And you can have a relationship with God. Amen. But anyway, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And thank you, Paul. We'll be in touch, okay?
Okay,
God bless you. All right. Bye-bye. All right, everybody. God bless you. Going to sign out today. We want you to know that Jesus Christ really does love you very, very much. God bless you. Bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.